Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight, and I thank you all for coming to our Good Friday worship service. I asked a couple of you if you knew you were coming to another funeral tonight. I thought it might be an interesting way of addressing Good Friday if I would try and say what might be said if there were a memorial service for Jesus between his death and the Sunday morning resurrection. So I dressed in a traditional Jewish attire, and I hope you will hear this as another way of understanding what happened on Good Friday. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and shield, in whom my heart trusts. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to the faithful. For the Lord knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon the faithful, and the righteousness of the Lord to children's children. Friends, we have gathered here in our grief to praise God, to witness to our faith, and to lift up the life of our friend and brother Jesus, child of God and earthly son of Joseph and Mary. We acknowledge and lament the untimely and unexpected loss of one far too young. May God grant us grace that in our pain we may find comfort, and in our sorrow we may find hope. Let us pray. God of us all, we thank you for grace, through which we pray to you in this dark hour. A life we love has been torn from us. Expectations we once held have vanished. The mystery of death has stricken us with doubt and fear. O God, you know the lives we live and the deaths we die, woven so strangely of purpose and of chance, of reason and of the irrational, of strength and of frailty, of happiness and of pain. Into your hands we commend the soul of Jesus. No mortal life you have made is without eternal meaning. No earthly fate is beyond your redeeming. Through your grace that can do far more than we can think or imagine, fulfill in Jesus your purpose that reaches beyond time and death. Lead him from strength to strength, and fit him for love and service in your kingdom. Into your hands also we commit our lives. You alone, God, make us to dwell in safety. Whom finally have we on earth or in heaven but you? Help us to know the measure of our days and how frail we are. Hold us in your keeping. Forgive us our sins. Save our minds from despair and our hearts from fear. And guard and guide us with your peace. Amen. Let's sing together now hymn number 298, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Gain I
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Here are these words from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us join together now in the comforting words of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are some texts in the Bible that are fairly appropriate to the life of Jesus, and these are from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which had not been told them, they shall see, and that which they had not heard, they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. These words from Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Jacob. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. Now let's sing three times through this number 488 in our hymnals.
Jesus, remember me
this night during Passover, it is appropriate to remember the story of Passover in Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." It is a difficult thing to come together and even try to comprehend what has happened in the last days. We find a man in whom we had put great hope and trust, all of a sudden, without warning, arrested, beaten, put to death on a cruel cross. And we wonder how that can be and what that means to us and for us. We certainly find it difficult to find hope this evening with that in our hearts. So we come to lift up the life of Jesus, the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, the child of God. We remember what a good man he was. I think he may well have been the most unselfish man I ever knew. He was always healing, always caring, always meeting the needs of others first. I remember one day he went with the disciples to try and find a place of rest and retreat. What he found instead was 5,000 men and their families in the wilderness, hanging on his words but needing to be fed. And so instead of resting, he looked at them and told his disciples they reminded him of sheep without a shepherd. And he began to serve them and fed all of them with a few loaves and a few fishes. He had exceptional power to work miracles, and yet he never used that power for his personal gain, for any kind of position, or for power. I think he may also have been the wisest man I have ever encountered. It's told that even at the age of 12 in the temple, he was baffling the scholars. He would ask them questions, and they would ask him questions. And the way that he would ask the questions and the way that he would answer their questions really confounded them. And his wisdom was apparent even at that early age of 12. His wisdom continued through his ministry when he talked to people and taught in parables. Because the parables always seemed to be a story that defused the situation, that didn't make it conflicting, and yet got to the heart of the person who was hearing. And so if you understood the parable, you understood the point. And he used that wisdom to get his point across without offending people, without raising their ire. He was also wise enough to provide answers that confounded the traps of those in the religious establishment that always tried to put him in a box or a bracket. Just when they thought they had asked him the one question that he would not be able to answer, he would provide an answer out of the blue that no one could have expected, and certainly no one could answer properly. Jesus was a man who knew God intimately and trusted God completely. It's strange that he never seemed worried about any kind of material possession or need. He was never bothered by the lack of a dwelling place. In fact, he told his disciples at one point that foxes have their holes, that birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That didn't seem to bother him. He always trusted God for the needs that would be met, and in every case, the needs were met. He had an incomparable prayer life. It's like he was connected to God all the time. And he would always make time to go off on his own if he were feeling the particular pressures of the world, I think. But the time that he made was spent in direct communication and prayer with God. It once again showed how much he knew God intimately and how completely he trusted God. He was a man who was not only intimately connected to God, but also in very intimate ways connected to people. He had the knack of always being direct and honest without hurting a feeling. It didn't matter whether he was talking to a man or a woman, a Gentile or a Jew, someone old or someone young. He always told the truth, and that truth always showed people who they were and even what they were thinking, perhaps in those times when people don't know what they are thinking until someone helps to show them that. Jesus was always able to judge the heart, but without any kind of condemnation being attached to it. And this week, this Passover week and Passover